If you're looking for a book for a young adult this holiday season, might we suggest Robin Benway's Far From the Tree? The New York Times does. They call it unforgettable. It just won this year's National Book Award for Young People's Literature. And it's very cool and very contemporary. One of the characters has a lesbian girlfriend. No one bats an eyelash. Another is starting a new relationship that snaps and crackles like Tracy and Hepburn. And all three of the main young characters are wrestling with aspects of adoption. Grace is a 16-year-old good girl who becomes pregnant and gives the baby up, which plunges her into a new understanding of the biological mother who once gave her up. Maya is in a wealthy family she doesn't look anything like. Her adoptive mom has a drinking problem. Joaquin is a foster child who's been rattling around the system, afraid to let his current foster parents adopt him, lest it all fall apart. And about a third into this tale, we find out they are siblings who find each other and set off to find their bio mom. The book is Far From the Tree. Turns out they haven't fallen too far from theirs. And author Robin Benway joins us from the NPR West Studios in Culver City. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
In the acknowledgments, you thank people who helped you tell this story. Some of us are familiar with some of the trials of adopted children, especially teens. You are so spot on in some places. Did you know about this?
No, I didn't. I had gotten the idea from the book based on a lyric and a song, and I kind of realized that I was wading into very uncharted territory for me. I don't have any experience with adoption. I'm not adopted. I haven't adopted. So I spent about 6-7 months doing a bunch of research. I talked to adoptive families. I talked to foster families. I talked to liaisons who worked between the birth mother and the adoptive family. I spoke with an adoption attorney. If I heard that you had a friend who was adopted or adopted in that 6-month period, I probably talked to them.
Well, and by the way, what was the lyric in the song?
Oh, it was a Florence and the Machine song. It was called Cosmic Love. And the lyric was, a falling star fell from your heart and landed in my eye. And I just had this image of a biological mom, you know, putting her baby up for adoption and that baby carrying that love of that bio mom, even though he or she may not know it.
Oh, that's just killer right there.
I was as surprised as anyone to hear that lyric and to think of that.
Well, I didn't want to go with just my personal observation, so I've been reading, you know, Adoptive Families magazine and looking, you know, scrolling through doing some research. And a lot of the things that you're hitting on happen in the teen years. You know, people who have adopted children might tell them things as they grow up. Your mom or dad loved you, but for different reasons, they couldn't help you in the way they wanted. And we could, so we did. But by the time they get to the teen years, they want more.
You know, it's funny. When I spoke with someone who was adopted, I said, what would you, if I could put one thing in this book, what would you want me to know? And she said, don't make the child ask you for information. Obviously, at an age-appropriate level, please let them know about their biological family, whatever you can tell them. And so there's a conversation in the book at one point that Grace has with her parents where she says, I shouldn't have to ask you. You should be telling me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's also a difficult line. When do you know when your child's ready to hear about their biological family?
They
what
tell
if
you.
They don't know anything. Yeah. What if they don't,
they'll
what if
say
they don't
no.
know that much? Yeah. And it's hard. And I think in every single family and every single situation is completely different.
Right. Well, Grace loves her adoptive family.
She does.
16, becomes pregnant, and gives this baby up, it immediately triggers. Well, what you and again, did this come from research?
Yes. You know, I think for Grace especially, it's very difficult because she herself is adopted and has a wonderful family. She loves her parents very much. But this baby is the first biological connection she has to someone else that she knows of.
I hadn't even thought of that. Her biological child is her only link to her biological mother and father.
Yeah, and when you think about that, it makes Grace's choice all the more heartbreaking. And yet she has that ability to think ahead and to think, I can't, for her personally, she cannot care for this child in the way that she would want this baby to be cared for. Mm-hmm. And that is what launches her choice. Grace isn't looking for her mom as a child. She feels that connection to her mom as a biological mother.
Yeah.
She looks for her not as a daughter, but as a mother.
Well, first she has the shock of finding out she has siblings,
yes.
which her parents tell her. Did you speak to adopted people who talked about that shock of there's someone else out there?
Yes. Yes, I did. I spoke to a very close friend of mine who I had known even before I'd gotten the idea for this book. I knew that she had looked for biological siblings and found them. And at every age, it is a shock, regardless of if you're 50, 20, or, you know, 15. And it's like with siblings that you grow up with, some you get along with wonderfully and some you don't. You know, it just comes down to, in a way, personality. And that was one of the things I wanted to explore, is what makes your family your family? Is it your personality? Is it the time you've grown up with them? Is it that biological bond? And there's no right answer.
All right. There's also no perfect adoptive family, even though they are angels to have done it. And Grace meets her sister Maya. And Maya, who would seem to have a picture-perfect life in this beautiful marble-floored home, has a mother with a serious drinking problem that she's trying to monitor. And then there's Joaquin. They find their brother heartbreaking. He's never been adopted. So you really lay out that choirs do sing when children are adopted, but it's not always perfect.
No family is perfect. It's still people living together and trying to love one another. And when I first started writing the book, I had no idea that Maya's mom had a drinking problem. And one of the first scenes I wrote, I went back and I read it, and I thought, gosh, this mom, every time I mention her, she has a glass of wine. She's drinking wine. And in a way, you know, with alcoholism, it can be a very deep-rooted secret in families. I didn't know that about Maya. I had to find it out.
Oh, that's funny. Joaquin.
Yes.
Oh, if we can say anything in this segment, it's that there's so many children waiting for adoption.
Yes.
And I'm seeing that they're staying longer in foster care, that adoption might be off. He's Hispanic. The foster parents who want to adopt him and adore him are white. He's never been with anyone from his birth culture, so he doesn't know how to speak Spanish, and yet he's treated by people in a certain way as if he is Mexican,
yes.
I think it is. Can you read? You have a paragraph that just will put a dagger in your heart about what it's like for these kids as they get older and realize they have not yet been adopted.
Joaquin understood that there probably wouldn't be anyone at his parent-teacher conferences at school listening as the teacher told them what a good artist he was. There was no one to take a picture of him standing under the blue ribbon that someone had pinned to his drawing at the school's art fair in fourth grade, or to drive him to that one birthday party across town in fifth. Some of his foster parents had tried, of course, but it wasn't like there was a ton of money or time to go around, and Joaquin had long ago figured out that if he didn't expect people to be there, then he wouldn't be disappointed when they didn't show up. That was hard to write. I did a lot of research about foster care and race and kids who are growing up in foster care and who are left in foster care. I did a lot of research about private adoptions and how much they cost and the cost difference between, let's say, a white baby girl and a newborn boy of color and why people are willing to pay more for one than the other. And, you know, these boys of color, they grow up to be men of color in the foster care system and they're just left behind. And I really wanted to represent and look at these kids through this one character of Joaquin, especially because Joaquin's sisters are white. His half-sisters are white.
Same mother, different fathers.
Exactly.
You know, it's interesting. I was reading up on the Center for Adoption Support and Education and was reminded that being a teen, everyone feels different from their peers. You know, but if you're an adopted child who's been feeling different from your family, it's a pile-on.
It is. Growing up is awful. You know, it's so difficult. You know, for Joaquin, it's the idea of in some states, when you once you turn 18, you're out of the system and you're on your own. And he's getting ready to launch into an adult world when he's barely had a foundation as a child and as a teenager. And I think when he meets his sisters, they begin to provide the beginning of that foundation.
Yeah. Did you talk to parents, too?
Yes, I did. I did. I talked to adoptive parents. I talked to a father who adopted two boys out of foster care. I wanted to show that these parents are imperfect, but they love their children very, very much, including Joaquin's foster parents. They adore him. And, you know, there's one moment where Joaquin says to them, you know, they're white, he's Hispanic, and he says to them, you are experiencing this very differently than I am. People look at me very differently than they look at you. And I think that's a very eye-opening moment for them. And I wanted to show that these parents aren't saints, but at the same time, they're willing to hear what he's saying and work with that and learn from what Joaquin is trying to tell them.
Well, and also he has a backstory that is why he's holding these people at arm's length, his feeling about himself and how he's not worthy and something he did in the past is going to hurt everybody. It's just heartbreaking, but it's so, I think the word you used is eye-opening. It's so eye-opening.
You know, Joaquin keeps very deep secrets. And for me, the author, I had to kind of dig around to find it. And when I was doing research and I figured out what that secret was based on my research into foster care and adoption and the systems in place. It broke my heart and I felt terrible that this is what had happened to him, but I knew that that's what he wanted me to find out. I felt so close to these characters. You know, I felt so attached to them. I felt so maternal toward them because I was putting them through so much. And to see them sort of come out on the other side and have this book be completed has just been, I feel like my kids went off to college in a way. They don't need me anymore. They're fine. But yeah, to find out their secrets for each character was, you know, wrenching.
That's Robin Benway. Her new book, Far From the Tree, just won the National Book Award for Young People's Literature. But adults could read it too. Robin, thank you so much for talking to us about it.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
A falling star fell from your heart and landed in my arms. I screamed aloud as it tore through the
Florence and the Machine. It's here and now.